Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, pets in Africa.
You find that most Africans don't appreciate the work the dogs are doing.
We in Africa do not respect pets. We do not care about pets whatsoever.
Well, pets, as we all know, pet is an animal kept primarily for a person's company or protection, as opposed to working animals, sport animals, livestock and laboratory animals, which are kept primarily for performance, agriculture, value or research. Well, the most popular pets are noted for their attractive appearances and also their loyal and playful personalities. But of course, on Let's Talk, we will discuss this in our usual light-hearted manner, so please stay tuned.
Who let the dogs out?
Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleague Suleiman Tarawali. Welcome aboard, Suleiman.
Thank you, Sandy.
And our intern in the house, Solomon Abu, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
One thing I wanted you to know, folks, in 2012, President of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, made critical remarks about pets and was quoted by AFP as he stated in a speech that the idea of having a pet is part of white culture and that people should focus on family welfare. However, the president's office sought to clarify his remarks, saying he was encouraging the previously oppressed African majority to uphold its own culture. But what do the people of Africa say? Are they pet lovers? I spoke to Isaac Njenga in Naivasha, Kenya, and I wanted to know his take.
Especially here in Naivasha, I think and I see that pets, some are man's best friend, like dogs, though to some extent, these dogs are humiliated. You find that most Africans don't appreciate the work the dogs are doing. You find that in here, particularly here in Kenya and East Africa at large, you find the dogs, they are kennel and outside, and like where we have maybe white people who put their dogs, who put the kennel of the dogs inside the house. You also find that the food the dogs are given here, something that you can say low or leftovers, unlike in a homestead where you find a white man or a white woman where they cook the food, they might even go to the extent of going to the supermarket and buying the dog food, specific for the dog food. But in Africa, totally is it on what the white men or white people are doing.
Right. Okay, that's a very different thing when you talk about these animals out there. Is it not also for the Africans that they believe pet is a man's friend?
They still believe, many Africans believe that putting or having those pets so close to human beings is something to do with colonization. You find that the people from America, or let's call them the white people, you find that he's driving and the dog or the those pets are sitting in the front seat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just ask for a lift, he's going to tell you to go back. You just sit behind the dog. And that one is not, it's not something good. It shows something wrong.
So you won't find that in common in Naivasha Street, someone driving and their dog is right in the front seat.
Yeah in the front seat.
Okay.
And if you just wave to maybe to get a lift, it's going to tell you to sit back. Now you see that the white people appreciate, I may say they appreciate the pets more than black people.
And when you go in your daily activities, for example, in Naivasha Market, for example, and you find dogs wandering around there, do people take care of them?
Yeah, the dogs are just left of us. They are just left to race around the town, eating what we may call habitual garbage. Yeah.
So what do they do with the dogs loitering around the town? They find a home for them, or what happens to those dogs?
They just give them the poison so that they may die, and then they may come, the racer come and collect them, and then they go to bury them.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So unless the Africans now are taught to appreciate pets as something to do that they can be part of the family. It's very difficult for them to stay with them.
Thank you, Isaac Njenga from Naivasha, Kenya. This is Let's Talk with your host, Sunday Shomari, and we are discussing pets in Africa. Well, back to the studio. Suleiman Tarawali, I'm sure you love pets, but tell me, we see pets in Europe, in America, having a lot of care, handled very well, driven around, and they enjoy themselves and stay in houses. But that does not apply, I should say, maybe in Africa. What is your take, Mr. Tarawali?
Well, you see, it's very unfortunate, Sunday, that we in Africa do not respect pets. We do not care about pets whatsoever. One of the things that we should basically think about first is that these animals have lives like ourselves. They should be treated as one of us. But in Africa, we do not consider them as having lives. We just treat them like a bunch of trash that perhaps we just keep in the house. For example, like in the country I came from, Sierra Leone, dogs are being raised by people to be watchdogs. At night, you know, we don't even keep them at home, like we see here in the United States. They are kept outside. Whether it rains or not, who cares? Whether it's cold out there or not, who cares? And if that dog, like during the day, if the dog comes into the house, like enters the living room, that dog is chased outside, most of the time kicked or whipped with a stick to leave the house. Same also as our cats. We raise cats in Sierra Leone to chase out away mice, but they are being treated the same way. And this is something that is very, very wrong. We should consider the fact that these are animals, even though they're animals of the lower class, but they do have lives like ourselves. And they should be treated as one of our own kids, brothers, sisters, or perhaps even our relatives.
We have pets in Africa, but don't we love our pets in Africa as well?
Of course we love our pets, but of course we have priorities and we have things we are looking at as well. And I think to some extent I agree with him. The question really has to do with what are the extents? Why do we keep the pet? Why do we keep them at home? Do we keep them to, like, if I have a cat, I want a cat to protect my house from mice, from invading my kitchen and stuff like that. It doesn't mean I don't care. It may mean that probably I don't have the means enough to provide a place for the cat to stay. Now, we may have dogs in our homes, especially where I'm from in Ghana. People keep dogs, or as pet, people keep them for meat. So the question really becomes, what is a pet? Because when you look at what is happening currently in the global world and in the Western world, people can get I've seen a lot of people get pigs and say, this is my pet. This one can get the cow and say, this is my pet. Now, when are we going to distinguish between what is meat and what is pet? Because that becomes a bigger question and we cannot really tell. I can get up and say that a fish is a pet. I quite remember one time we were trying to prepare some fish somewhere here in the United States. And my friend was like, oh, why are you eating the fish? Oh, it's so cute. I'm like, what are you talking about?
So somebody was confused.
So you see, okay. It just comes to confirm what people say, that one man's meat is another man's poison. And so you may not like dog as a meat, but some people like it as a meat. That's where the problem is. So what becomes a pet? It depends on who is raising a pet, who distinguishes what a pet is. Or probably we may have to get a global definition of what a pet is. Then we can say that a pig cannot be a pet, a cattle cannot be a pet. Or because when you go to France, they take horses. People don't like horses. So it is a very, very complicated point. And the fact is that in Africa, we don't have the luxury people have here. And it doesn't mean we do not care. It could be that we do not have the means to keep the bird.
You see, I mean, when you're talking about that, if we do not have the luxury, we don't have the finances to take care of these animals, maintain them properly, we should not even think about the idea of bringing them into our homes. Because like in Africa, most times we don't even feed these animals.
But the point is,
we don't feed these animals. Like dogs, when people cook, it's the little thing that sits at the bottom of the pot, that's what they give them. And if the cat is hungry, and the cat goes into your kitchen and steals, like, your fish, that cat is bitten and, I mean, perhaps sometimes even killed. If we cannot provide for them, let us not take care of them at all.
Good question.
Can we do that? No, that still brings the questions to what you're talking about. Because the point I'm making is that now I'm keeping this dog, and when I eat, the dog eats. Like whenever I eat, the cat gets something to eat. You cannot tell me where I live in a place that is impoverished, that we don't have so much, and you cannot juxtapose or make a comparison between what happens in a state that, I mean, they have enough, they have the facilities, they have the, because we don't even have the health infrastructure to help people cater for their diseases. And you are talking about having a place for pets, like people have a massage therapy for dogs here. Now, I'm not justifying animal cruelty. The point I'm making is that, of course, we all have passion. We know they have life. But there are reasons why we keep them. And we give them what we have. I know places where people keep dogs. When we eat, we give them. When we are eating, we eat to them. We don't eat in the same plate like people do here. No.
Right.
We put it in a bowl for them or put it on the floor.
Or throw it on the floor for them to chew the bones.
Exactly.
That's what they need for.
That's what they do. I know. And hold it right there. Hold it right there. According to Dr. Lewis, a specialist, he says, in fact, for nearly 25 years, research has shown that living with pets provides certain health benefits. Pets help lower blood pressure, lessen anxiety, boost our immunity. They can even help get you some dates in your life, okay? But I spoke to Michael Omtit from South Sudan, and I wanted to know his take.
Sunday, believe me, you are an African like me. I believe majority of Africans' community keep pets for like the two reasons. Number one, we keep pets, like, let us take an example of a dog. We keep dog actually for the security reason. We bring, when they are still puppies, we bring them home, you know, we provide them with a basic needs of the food that can keep them alive. Like we provide them with peanut butter, we mix them with water, and we give them so that they can keep on healthy. Mm. And we buy some meat from the market, we bring to them. And as soon as they become like big enough, we don't longer take care of them as before. Although we might provide them with a little bit of food,
right.
But those food are like leftover or a food that is like I already spoiled on of the previous day we give to them, and they eat and they still keep, you know, providing security for our homes, providing security for our things that we are fear of.
Okay.
Number two, that is traditionally, we keep the pets or dogs are for hunting. We don't keep pets at home and keep wasting money on them, and yet they do us nothing, you know. So we train them. We train them actually in providing us for bush meat or providing us the security when we are working on forest. So let's take an example of a field. A dog that is raised up in the village, that dog is totally different. The behavior is quite different from a dog that is raised in the city, for example, in African cities. So you find the dog which is raised in the forest or even in the village is quite wild. It's wild, really, because they are trained based on that. Whenever it sees any animal, it's like a hunt point for it. So you get like when that dog comes to the town, it is very difficult for you to handle that dog, because when it comes to the town, there are a lot of dogs moving around. There are a lot of goats and sheep and other like cats and all this. So you find it difficult changing the environment for the dog which is living in the forest and the dog which is in the city. So these are more or less the two reasons that dogs are raised in Africa for. But the third one, although, which is, I find it in the Western world, like in America or in Europe, that a dog is raised for, I don't know whether it is luxury,
or
don't know
companionship.
Whether it is, maybe companionship, friendship. But how do you be a friend with animal while there are a lot of people living around you? Animal doesn't talk. Animal does not like provide you with ideas. It does not support you in anything.
But I can tell you why. Because there are so many dogs, for example, like you said, in these places like in America and other places, whereby a dog is helping people. A dog is walking somebody who is blind, for instance. They use dogs to walk around. Some people use these dogs too to help them with chores in their house. Maybe they're disabled.
That is one of the positive sides of the dogs, for example, here. And it is because they are trained. You know, I don't believe whether we have the facility, for example, back home, to train those dogs in order to assist you, for example, to give a company to a blind person.
Thank you, Michael Omtit from South Sudan. Yo 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 oh 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 hey yo oh 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 yo 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 yo. What would you give to be free? Oh whoa, free to stand and stride the morning sun and sing your own melody. Oh whoa, and shout it from the mountaintops. What would you give to be free? Oh, whoa. Free to stand and stride the morning sun and sing your own melody. Oh, whoa. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing pets in Africa. Now, back to the studio. I want to ask you guys, does someone need to be financial healthy, financial blessed, or rich to keep pets? Or it doesn't matter? Well, we'll find out. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa service. So back to you guys. Do you need to have money to keep those pets? You said something about it. Elaborate that, Mr. Trawai.
You don't need to have money. Okay. Which means you don't have to be a rich person. Rich meaning that you don't have to have like thousands in a bank, millions in a bank to be able to take care of a pet. The first thing stems from your perception of what this thing means to you and, in fact, your family. Because if you realize, like I've said before, that this is an animal that has a life, if you keep it in the house, you eat, you have to provide for that animal to eat. If you are going into your house to take refuge when it's pouring in your city or your state, get the animal inside. Don't leave the animal to stay out there. I've seen dogs shiver just like a human being can shiver when it's cold. What do we do to prevent this? You see, you don't have to be that rich. I mean, at least when you eat, like my colleague here was saying, when you eat, make sure the animal eats. You see, but most people do not even, for example, wash their dogs. I was in Egypt in 1979. Let me tell you this. I was in downtown Tahrir Square. This gentleman was walking around with his horse. It was very humid on that day. That guy was walking with his horse and beating the horse with a cane. Fortunately enough, there was this white lady who felt it so bad, who perhaps knew that this is an animal that has life. That woman took her hands and slapped the guy. I said, wow. Speak English. Yes, mm-hmm. This was in 1979 in Egypt. And told the guy, this animal has life. Some people came around the woman and they wanted to just, you know, beat her up. But the police prevented her from being beaten up. And in fact, the woman started crying down at Tahrir Square. It was a very emotional thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if all of us have that same type of emotion that she expressed on that day, believe me, we will have the consideration of treating our animals with more respect.
Even better.
What's the substantive question? As to whether you should have money. I mean, in Ghana, we have a saying that you don't have a veranda, but you want to keep a pet, because a veranda is where, probably somewhere where they can stay.
Where they can sleep.
Of course. You need to have some means. You cannot be homeless and try to keep a pet or try to raise a dog or a cat or something of that sort. Now, the point I'm making is that it becomes increasingly dangerous for us to raise the status of this pet to that of human. And that is what is happening, where people are saying that, oh, we want to marry this pet. We want to marry this. Is my, you know, you read it in papers and sometimes it's so outrageous. Someone say, oh, the dog is my this.
It's my companion. It's my friend. It's my saver.
That is where we have a problem. And I think that we have a social network that we are breaking and trying to infuse that into that kind of kingdom. Because the fact that it's a pet, the fact that you live with a dog or a cat does not make the dog or the cat human. And that's where we have a problem. So I think that we should distinguish between the two, that we can tell really where the line gets off. Then I know that this is a pet. Pet cannot meet with me. Pet cannot sleep on my bed. That's my bed.
I hope you don't get emotional. Your bed, of course, is going to be your bed.
Okay. Now, this is a good point that you're raising. These are supposed to be pets. They can be taken care of. There's a way to handle that. And I understand your point. So hold it right there.
My money they wait for you, baby. One more time they wait. Make me go the place for real. Oh sweetie, to buy table by Gigi Dogo, to call it all girl in my go. All the water bottles on my way. Oh, baby, we can do it your way. Anything you want is okay. All the water bottles on my way. Oh, you Tanzania to live.
You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back in a moment.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, and in studio with Solomon and Suli Tarawali. We are discussing pets in Africa. Well, Africa, this is your turn. All our listeners out there, it is time to give us your input.
My name is Philemon Chacha. I'm from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. And my personal opinion is that generally the level of animal cruelty is very high, because for my business, I usually travel a lot to go up country. And when I'm driving, for example, to Morogoro, Dodoma, Singida, or even Arusha, I find so many animals, so many pets, let's say dogs or cats, on the road having been hit by a car, and no one really cares. And to be shocked that sometimes you're actually passing a place where there's a very good population of people, a good number of people, but no one cares to actually go and pull that pet from the road. So people will just leave it there, and many other car will come and, you know, step on it until it becomes part of the road. Sometimes you might find a pet which has been hit on the road is actually has been pulled to the side of the road, but that's it. No one really cares. I mean, I remember my time in the UK. There was this lady, every time she sees any pet on the road, she would actually get off her car, and then take that animal to wherever she took them. But it was obviously to go either and bury them or to take them to the authorities so that they can actually do all the formalities for burying.
My name is Emmanuel William Bandawe. When we talk about pets in Africa, it's not yet. We haven't reached level. Here in America, it's a $40 billion industry where pets are concerned. When you go to Africa, we only use pets as watchmen. You have a bigger farm. You can have a bigger farm. You have a lot of cows. You have a lot of goats. Then you're using the big dogs to protect, I mean, the cow and the goats. There are, for instance, cats. Cats in Africa, like in Tanzania, we use people say, oh, if you put a cat in the house, they say you like witch dog. But it's not.
And thank you to our listeners who shared their views with us. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing pets in Africa. It's time now for the unusual story of the week.
I want to be president was a hilarious statement that went viral by a toddler. But is the little boy too young? Zeke is Hillary Clinton's newest political rival, and he's desperate to be the U.S. president. The only real problem is he is too young. Zeke broke down in tears after being told so, and he began sobbing as he was lying in his bed. In his own words, he confirms to his mom that he has all the qualifications needed for the role. But when his mother asks, what would you do if you were president? Zeke emotionally replies, play and toys. She gently tries to tell him that he's just slightly too young for such a responsibility. But this little boy is not having any of that. Giving in, the mother adds, all right, we're going to have to work on your platform then. Hillary Clinton, watch out.
That's it for sure on Pets in Africa. A big thank you to our guest, Michael Omtit from South Sudan, and Isaac Njenga from Kenya. And also thank you to my colleague, Suli Tarawali in the studio, and our intern, Solomon Abu. And Jackson Vanganyi is our producer. And as usual, send in your comments and story ideas. We love to hear from you. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942 and leave us a voicemail. The number again is 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be music in Africa. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
In Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring and children from learning. Join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Join with leaders like President Kikwete.
United, we can beat malaria.
Good morning. Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Start your day right. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.